All right, well, let's take our Bibles, if you would, and let's turn to Matthew chapter 6, and we will begin reading in verse 19, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Now, Lord, we thank you for the word of God, and we just pray you'd help us to see what we need to see here today. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, we talk about a lot of things today as we've talked on, and sometimes I think we forget the essentials. We forget things we need to understand, and especially when it pertains to just life. We talk about all types of things when it comes to life. We talk about the politics of the day. We talk about our struggles. We talk about our finances. We talk about everything in the world that we can think to talk about. And you know, a lot of times we spend a lot of time thinking and worrying and fretting over things that in the final analysis, you really can't control. All you can do is do all you can, and after that, you have to learn to put it in God's hands, don't you? You're either going to put it in, keep it in your own hands and fret over it and worry about it, or you're going to put your trust in the government, or you're going to put your trust in some other man, or you're going to put your trust in God. That's what it boils down to. When we talk about living our lives in this world, the things that Jesus says here are pretty foreign to us. They seem extreme. Look at what he says. He says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now here you have the picture of where are you going to put your treasure at, right? Where are you going to put your treasure? Are you going to have it on earth, or are you going to have it on in heaven? And let's just be honest about this. We all want affluence on the earth. We kind of want it. No, everybody here wants to have enough money to be able to not only take care of their needs, but to get some things that we just want to have. And if we're responsible, we hope to be able to leave something behind to our families. But we don't have a guarantee that we're going to be able to keep all that stuff. Even if you get to be affluent, even if you make a lot of money, you have no guarantee you'll keep it, because people are going to try to steal it, right? And it may not be just people. It might be the government. They're pretty good at that. If you hadn't noticed, they're good at making people's money. But then you look at all of that, and then there's tragedy, there's failures, there's all the fluctuations of the things that go on. We're dealing with inflation and everything down here. And so, but we, our focus seems to always be here and never heaven. Never what's going to last eternal. Our focus always seems to be on the temporal. But we kind of just almost like we're hardwired to do that. And God tells us, no, that's not where you're supposed to be laying up your treasure. And there's plenty in the Bible talking about how God will prosper some people and God provides for the needs of His children and all these things. And these are things we're supposed to trust Him, and that kind of goes into the rest of it. But the idea of putting everything we value and laying up treasure in heaven and not money and things, but the true riches, things that last forever, it's kind of hard for us to comprehend, because we don't see spiritually. We don't see with the idea of a devotion to God above everything else. That Christ is first in everything. If we did, then we'd have no difficulty with that. But the difficulty comes because Christ is not first. We don't see that being laid up in heaven as a real asset, because we can't hold it in our hands. But it's the only sure asset there is. It's the only thing that you can truly say is mine, and no one can ever take it from me. But we don't have respect unto the recompense of the reward. And that's the problem. And he says, where your heart treasure is, there will your heart be also. He says in verse 22, he says, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? In other words, the light of the body is the eye, where your eye is, where your focus is, right? And he says, if your eye is single, in other words, you're not double-minded, you're not looking to yourself or to man, you're looking to God, and you have a single focus of serving God, your whole body's full of light. But if your eye is evil, in other words, if you're double-minded, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, right? He said, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. That's man's problem. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already, because he believeth not on the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation. That light is coming to the world, and men love what? Darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. So we see that picture there. We see that understanding there. But if the eye is your light and your eye is evil, in other words, you're double-minded in that way, then your whole body's full of darkness. It begins to cover everything. It begins to be the primary thing, not the light of the Word of God, not the light of the world, which is Christ. And so he says, how great is that darkness? And it gets, you know, if your light is darkness, then that's pretty dark. He says, no man can serve two masters, for he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And mammon is wealth, riches, things. That's what mammon means. You can't serve that and serve God. You can't do one or the other. You can't give your allegiance to both. It doesn't work. And so he says, therefore, I say unto you, he said, because of this, because you can't have an evil eye, you can't have, you can't serve two masters. Here's what you do. Take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? And then he says, in verse 28, why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. He says, think about that. Don't take thought what you shall eat, what you shall drink, what you shall put on. He said, the fowls of the air, they sow not, neither do they reap, neither they, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And he says about the lilies, they don't toil, they grow, but they don't toil, they don't spin. He says, yet I say unto you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? He says, therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. Now, what he's simply saying to us is that our entire life, the focus of our life, whatever aspect of our life it may be, whether it be our personal life, whether it be our home, our family, our job, our business, our church, that the goal and the focus should be to do it in a manner which is pleasing to God, that lays up treasure in heaven. That when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ, the end result is that you will not be saved yet so as by fire, but will have a reward. The Apostle Paul, he's talking about preaching the gospel. He says, for if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. God has a plan for my life. God has a call on my life. God says that he is to come first. His will is to come first. And I'm supposed to focus on that above everything else. I'm a father and a husband. I have a responsibility in the Bible to provide for my family. But I cannot let that responsibility come before my relationship with God. I can't say, well, I'm going to do whatever it takes to feed my family and take care of my wife, and if I have to break God's law to do it, I'm going to do it. Nope. I'm supposed to say, I'm a husband and a father, and I have a commitment and a responsibility before God to provide for my family and my wife and to take care of them, and I will do it God's way regardless. I will not break God's law to do it. That's what he's talking about. Not serving two masters. Jesus is Lord of everything.
Amen.
He's Lord of all. That's what he means when he says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. The things you need, God will provide. You can live right and live good. And I don't mean good in material ways. I mean good in ways that are far beyond material. God has provided for me very abundantly, and I've been thankful for it. We talked about tithing this morning. We talked about dealing with the matters of the heart and all these type of things, and recognizing the wickedness that is in our heart, and realizing that those are the things that's what needs to be cleaned up. That's what needs to be changed. And this is just another step forward in that. We've got to get to the point where we understand that whatever we do, it should be done in a manner that is pleasing to God. So often we kind of fall off the wagon when it comes to that type of thing. We have so many things in the world. We have the politics and the things of the government and everything. And we have the government going crazy. And then we have a bunch of people running around being vulgar. And not just the world, but Christians being vulgar and saying ugly and unkind things. And not giving the government the respect it needs to do. You know, you could stand for liberty and freedom, and you don't have to try to you don't have to join into vulgar memes that the world puts out. And you don't have to be as ugly as the commentators are. You can just stand for liberty. Did you know you could do that? Did you know that you could stand for liberty and freedom and be godly too? How about that? Did you know that you could have a problem in your home or in your church, and you could deal with it in such a manner that you don't have to become mean or unkind or gossip or any other thing? Yeah, we see somebody struggling in the church, and instead of running to tell somebody else about it, we could get on our knees and tell the Lord about it. And say, Lord, won't you help? Used to have an old gospel song or hymn they used to sing. They said, go and tell Jesus on me, when my faults and failures you see. Yep. If you are my brother, don't go tell another.
Amen.
Go and tell Jesus on me.
Amen.
That'd be a good thing. Good rule of thumb, isn't it? Just think about that. I'm just trying to say, he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. He's not saying we don't have responsibilities. He tells us about our responsibilities in the Bible, doesn't he? You know, if a man provide not for his own house, he's worse. He's denied the faith, and he's worse than an infidel. That's pretty strong language, isn't it? But that doesn't mean provide for your family at all costs and disregard the righteousness of God, does it? Does that mean go out and make your family an idol? No, it doesn't. It means that godly men and women are supposed to seek God's righteousness, the righteousness of God. Find out how to do things in a right manner. The righteousness of God, which is by faith, and then put that faith and that righteousness into practice in our lives. That's what we're supposed to do. That's the way it works. Take anything in your life, your business. You don't have to subscribe to all the modern ideas of business and everything else in order to do. You ought to do your business in an honest manner.
Amen.
You know, there's a lot in the Old Testament law about a just weight and a just balance. You know what that means? That means being fair and godly and decent in your dealings. You know, if you sell something by the pound, then maybe it ought to be a true pound whatever you're giving out. In other words, a just weight. You ought to be true on that. You ought to be honest in your dealings. You ought to be honest in your business. And just because man's law might allow you to hedge, did you know a lot of our laws allow the companies to actually give us something that's really not what they advertise? I could give you, probably if I took some time to think about it, I could give you examples, but there's some foods that they say they're this, and they're really not just that. They're that plus other things, fillers and other things that they put in them, aren't they? Huh?
I already thought of one. Yep.
You know, you go out and buy a big old jar that has big letters on it, says peanut butter, and then in this tiny little letter below it, it says spread. And then you look at the deal, and it's not 100% peanut butter; it's palm oil and everything else. You know, vegetable oils and stuff like that they put on it. It's just got part peanut butter in it, but they're allowed to do that. There's ways they can get around that. So, you know, we talk about having to look at the fine print. People shouldn't have to look at the fine print when they deal with us. That would be truth. I'm sure glad God doesn't have fine print in the Bible. I'm glad it's all straight and forward, aren't you?
Amen.
They always say the devil's in the details. Let's talk about the fine print. Isn't it interesting that they acknowledge that the devil's the one that uses fine print, isn't it? Huh? Now, I'm just simply saying, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. What I do, I want to do in such a manner that I'm going to lay up some treasure in heaven by bringing glory to God. Don't take any thought about that. Those things. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Is God saying there, don't plan for the future? No, He's not talking about that. There's a place for planning for the future. The Bible wouldn't talk about inheritances and how to deal with. Now, that's another area that people need to deal honestly and decently about. And things like that. But isn't that a place that causes so much consternation in families? You would not believe the number of people who get here. We have the death of a loved one, and the whole family's at war over their things, over their bank accounts. And they're mad at one another. And then they get up around the thing and they all boo-hoo a little bit about that. And the whole time they're seething inside, mad at the person next to them. That's the way the world does things. God's not saying don't take care of those things. It's not what this is saying. But He says take no thought for the morrow. In other words, you do God's will today, and the things of the morrow will take care of themselves. It's a two-edged sword. By the way, if you do things right, then when the time of the day of your... If we're going to talk about inheritances, if you do those things right today, do the right thing today, it'll be taken care of in the future. It'll be already taken care of, won't it? But then there's another thing you won't do. If you just... And there are a lot of things in our life that, let's be frank, we can't do anything. We don't control them. All I can do is worry about the evil today. I can fret myself about what might happen tomorrow, but I can't do a cotton picking thing. What might happen tomorrow doesn't necessarily mean it's going to happen tomorrow. How many times have you worried yourself to death about things that might happen some other time and neglected things that you should have been doing today? Allowed your concerns over that to cause you to be unkind to somebody else today. Or just worry about yourself and somebody else was hurting and you couldn't see that they were hurting now because of what you were afraid of later. We can all say that, can't we? We can all say that we've allowed things to get there. And Jesus tells us, He said, don't take any thought for the things of the morrow, for the things of the morrow shall take thought for the... He said, for tomorrow shall take thought for themselves, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. In other words, you can't worry about tomorrow's evil. All you can deal with is today's. You and I have to live... When it comes to the past, we can't change it. All we can do is remember it. When it comes to the future, we have no control. Just like today, if you are sitting in this service today and you're not saved, you don't know for sure if you died today, you'd go to heaven. What does the Bible say? Now is the acceptable time. If you'll hear His voice, harden not your heart. Today is the day of salvation. Today, if you'll hear His voice, harden not your heart. Now, today, you need to get saved today. Why? Because you don't have the promise of tomorrow, do you? And all the things you were worried about that might happen tomorrow, you don't know they're going to happen. You don't even know if you're going to be here. So why would you neglect serving God today? Don't allow tomorrow to stop you from serving God today. Don't worry about tomorrow. You can't fix it. Do what you can do today. Do what's right today. How many people don't do the will of God because they're afraid of the possible consequences down the line? By the way, isn't that the way the devil works? He wants us to be afraid. Look at what happens when governments become unjust. They don't want people to do what they should be doing now. They want them to fear what's going to come in the future. If I do this, what's the government going to do to me tomorrow? Think about it. Isn't that how they threaten? That's the way the devil works. God says, trust me today, serve me today. Put your focus on the here and now. As pertains to the future, do the right thing now. Do the right thing now. Isn't it so easy to get caught up on the things of this earth? Isn't it amazing how easily they lead us astray? And I just want to, you know, we talked about not just making sure, you know, our focus is on the how we smell to men, but we don't care about how we smell spiritually. We don't like how we smell to God. I tell you what, we need to seek. We need, you know, if you take care of the things that are right, You know what? God will lead you. You know, they used to say, what? Cleanliness is next to godliness. Why? Why did they say that? Because people that believe the Bible tended to be what is the word I'm looking for? They tended to be more conscious of that which is wrong, that which is offensive to others. That which might be a stumbling block to another. Remember, the Bible tells us that we're not to be put a stumbling block before anybody. Let no man, let each consider other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own treasure, but also on the treasure of others. In other words, look at their wealth, their well-being. Because people that care about God also care about being a stumbling block, about the relationship being a stumbling block to somebody else's relationship with God. I mean, I spend a lot of time talking about that. But he tells us again, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Don't worry about tomorrow. Worry about your relationship with God today. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll close out the service today. Father, thank you for the Word of God, and I just pray you'd help us to see that and understand it. So often we try to make it too hard. And Lord, help us to just simply put our relationship with you in front of everything else and just seek to do your will and do the right thing today to the very best of our ability to do the right thing in all things. Father, help us to trust you and seek your kingdom and your righteousness. And Lord, we just thank you for the fact that you've given us the promise that all these things shall be added unto us. Help us to trust in that promise, to trust you and do good today. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.